What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name, RG Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Monday, March 30th, 2020. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're safe, happy, healthy, practicing social distancing, washing your hands. Hope that you had a fantastic weekend, and we're ready for another fun-filled, guest-filled week here on The Ocho. Talking about this, doing what we can to bring in lots of friends from different walks of life, different angles, different thoughts, different opinions. We can, you can hear everything. That's how we want to roll. So this is going to be a fun week. We get it started with our friend Bobby Belt. Bobby and I talked for about 40 minutes, doing some kind of what if situations, what if looking back, sort of butterfly effects with regards to really 2 years in terms of Cowboys drafts, the way the Cowboys have drafted. And you can play what if with every team in every draft, but there are two that kind of stand out to us. We talked about that. Just wanted to mention, if you haven't, make sure to subscribe to the Blog and the Boys podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. We're available everywhere, all major podcast platforms. That's Apple devices, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud. If you need a link, you need a direct link or whatever, you have a question, comment, concern, whatever you want to talk about, you can always hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at RJ Ochoa. You can DM me there. My DMs are open. You can shoot me an email if that's more your speed, rj.ochoa@sbnation.com. Buckle up. It's going to be a fun week. Not sure how many headlines we'll get across Cowboys land or even the NFL land, given that it's the third week of free agency, but there will surely be some shaking and some moving, and we'll have you covered, of course, as we always do. Lots of fun coming your way. So let's stop holding you back from the fun. Let's get right to it. The one and only Bobby Belt joins us next, right here on The Ocho. Pleased to be joined now by a very special guest, the one and only, you know him. He has likely come up with a statistic to either reinforce or totally destroy your argument. From NFL Network, Bobby Belt. How goes it, Robert?
Goes great. Lately, I've just been using my statistical and research powers on, like, personally tracking, like, coronavirus. So I've been able to use it so much on, like, sports. But, I'm still using the tools at my disposal to get things done.
You, Bobby is one of those people. If you want to follow him on Twitter at BobbyBeltTX, RIP at Sports by Dallas. And, he has a lot of information on all things. And so, good for you, Bobby, educating the masses. We're all proud of you and, appreciate it very much. How are you self-quarantining? What have you watched that you are surprised at yourself? Like you've watched and you're like, man, I can't believe I actually got to the point that I watched this.
I don't think I'm that far gone with it yet. So as some people know, I make reference to it occasionally. I work, outside of just my NFL stuff, I work in radio, like for a radio network, and that radio network specializes more in like news programming than like sports. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, we haven't actually throttled back at all. We've actually like increased our workload because, we're part of the news media covering everything that's going on. And so it's not like I've had like an abundance of free time, more than usual, maybe a little bit more than usual, but not a ton more. And so I haven't been able to just like roll through a backlog of stuff yet, but I mean, I was able to knock out John Wick finally, which I had never seen.
Wow.
And I'd been meaning to see, so I finally got to see that, which is pretty good. And then we're just a little past the halfway point on Tiger King now. We've seen 4 of the 7.
Okay. Well, so the answer was John Wick. Thanks for going. You know, you.
But I wasn't surprised. The criteria you gave about being surprised by it, and I can't believe I got to this point. That's not it at all. I've been meaning to watch it, so it was actually more like, thank God I was finally able to watch this. It wasn't like I can't believe I watched this.
Right. Okay. Well. So anyway,
what's yours?
Me. Well, we watched not this. You and I were recording on Sunday. Not this current weekend, but last weekend. We watched three movies that we had been meaning to get to, and I'm just surprised that we got through three already. I mean, maybe there's a lot more on the horizon, it seems.
I will say that the one where I probably did to, because it's not a movie, I guess the true answer to yours, based off what you just said, was the fact that this afternoon, and if anybody looked at my Twitter, they would have seen this, I was watching Cowboys Vikings Week 3 from 1995 on DVD.
That's a good answer. I guess my answer like that, I've been saying this, is the popular series from No Laying Up, Tourist Sauce. And actually, Bobby, you're our Monday guest. Chris Solomon from No Laying Up is our Tuesday guest on the Ocho. So nice little foreshadowing by me right there. So congratulations.
All right, I'm going to need to lay a good foundation for him here.
Well, you can't let, that's the whole thing, No Laying Up. I mean, you can't lay up, you know what I mean? So, but anyway,
I'm laying up into him.
I got you. Okay, so anyway, I wanted to have you on for sort of an existential discussion, which is always fun to do with you. And I want to talk about the 2007 and sort of 2007 plus minus Dallas Cowboys, and specifically the draft that they had. This was now 13 years ago, which is crazy when you really think about it. The fact that it's been that long, because I remember this very vividly. Now, 2007, spring of 07, Cowboys are coming off the Romo bobbled snap game. Bill Parcells has just retired. Wade Phillips is the new head coach. So kind of the last time there was a sort of true new head coach, you know, obviously Jason Garrett was a new head coach one point in time, but interim and whatnot. So, you know, a little bit of a common thread in that specific capacity. But the Cowboys had just had their quarterback, Tony Romo, kind of show up and kind of be impressive, certainly.
Made the Pro Bowl playing basically half a year. He took the world by storm.
That's true. Tony Romo started 10 games and was given the full nod of this is our guy. Kind of, I'm not comparing the two, but I think like a modern day version of that's like Gardner Minshew, maybe, you know, like got, you know, enough, kind of came a little bit out of nowhere.
I would say more, and you'd have to jump sports here a little bit. I'd say a better comparison, and Romo had a better career. He didn't flame out as much, but in terms of something that kind of happened in the middle of the season that took everybody by storm, and it's like, oh my gosh, look, this guy's like killing it, would be Jeremy Lin. Well, there's a little bit of insanity for Romo.
Sure. I'm talking about somebody that today is in the same boat that Romo was in 07. That's what I'm kind of talking. The spring of 07. That's what I'm saying. Like Gardner Minshew kind of makes some sense. You know what I mean? But anyway, so the Cowboys would go on later that fall to give Tony Romo a huge six-year contract. Granted, it was in late October that they gave him this contract. I know I want to talk draft, but I want you to guess what the overall value of that contract was in 2007, six-year deal for a quarterback.
And maybe I'm totally wrong here, but I'm pretty sure I remember this value because I do remember the story vividly. I remember Romo sitting up at the press conference and the first thing he said, which was a good line, first thing he said was, first off, I want to say that I think clearly this money makes me a better person. And it was good. It was a good delivery. It was flat. It was effective. But I want to say it was 6 years and 56 or 54.
You're wrong. Do you think you're low or high?
On 6 years, 56. I'm gonna say I was low then. 58. Yeah. I feel like it was 6 and 50 something.
You're substantially low. 6 year, $67.5 million deal. How much do you think was guaranteed?
Shoot, 13 years ago, I would guess that it was probably not 18.
30.
Well, you got a pretty nice little payday.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You're getting $11 million per year, approximately, for a quarterback. Think about it. Crazy.
Can I say, by the way, how much was the signing bonus? Do you happen to have that in front of you?
I do. Do you want to guess?
I mean, 15, 16, I don't know.
Not the only number you went high on, 11 and a half.
Okay, now that's what I do want to say, is that because he did get some signing bonuses during his playing career that were sizable, that he got giant amounts of money dropped in his account. And as a misunderstanding once more of how people understand like cash versus contract value and average value versus like what they're actually getting paid for a year, I do take issue when people keep quoting that Romo's going to make more money next year than he made any season in the NFL.
Right, that's not true.
He got giant checks a couple times that were much more than that.
There are some, these figures, by the way, from an old ESPN.com article. This was so long ago that the author is listed as ESPN.com news services. So, you know, way before push alerts. I did want to include a quote just for the throwback purposes of this from Aiken Adell. Aiken said, he's the future of the team. To have him signed, that's important because you want to establish your quarterback who is going to lead you through things and win you championships. Good times. Shout out to Aiken Adell and his brother Remy. You know, good played for the Saints. Good defensive tackle.
Yeah, Aiken. Yeah. Aiken was a good player on that 07 team. It's a really strong linebacker group. That was Ware and Spencer on the edges, and it was Aiken Adell and Brady James in the middle.
Right.
That was a good group. That was a good team in general. A
little bit before the Zach Thomas, Keith Brooking renaissance, you know, it's good times. But, okay, so anyway.
Yeah.
So Romo would get his deal a little bit before Halloween. But the thing I find fascinating, and I know we've talked about this privately before, and it's hard. Like, you can never tweet this because there's so much necessary context. But if we jump back.
You can never tweet anything about Romo.
That's a really good point. So jumping back, 2007, Cowboys are obviously coming off of a playoff year. They hold the 22nd overall pick in the draft. Now, the number one pick that year, obviously, Jamarcus Russell, the greatest quarterback who's ever lived. But the consensus number two.
Jared Lorenzen was the biggest quarterback who ever lived.
I said best quarterback that ever lived.
Oh, I thought you said biggest. Damn.
That's your fault. Anyway, so outside of Jamarcus Russell, sort of the consensus next franchise quarterback hailing from Notre Dame, Brady Quinn. Okay. Now,
yes. The
Cowboys were, this is an NFL draft, you know, pre kind of the world we live in now where quarterbacks, even in the first round, go a lot sooner than they really should because teams trade up and everybody's panicked and everything, blah, blah. And so, a la Aaron Rodgers 2 years prior, Brady Quinn starts falling, and it's 07, so he's got the long, you know, sort of the Hills hairstyle going, and he's in the green room, and he's got the big suit on and everything, and sure enough, Brady Quinn, one of the consensus franchise quarterbacks in the class, falls to the Dallas Cowboys at 22 overall, who are coming off of a season in which they started an undrafted free agent quarterback in the penultimate year of his rookie deal. You know, keeping him, he's got 10 games started under his belt, and he's coming off of a moment that many people labeled him as a choker and whatnot, blah, blah. And they decide to trade out. I feel like if that happened today, the Cowboys would get destroyed. Like, if that same thing happens today, it's a disaster. I mean, it is it's kerosene on fire.
If the scenario plays out again, not necessarily with Dak at quarterback and
Exactly. And I don't even think it has to be the Cowboys, but like if a team, you know, passed on the quote unquote like Brady Quinn falling to them that way, especially, you know, it'd be one thing if he falls to you at like 14 or whatever, but at 22, I mean, that was it was a correct, you know, decision, but an awfully bold decision.
Who traded away from Mahomes? Who traded away from that and gave it to Kansas City? Do you remember?
I don't. Let's see.
Or potentially like who traded away? Because again, I'm struggling to remember who this was. Who traded away when the Rams and the Eagles went up to go get, or the Rams were already where they were, wasn't it? When the Rams and the Eagles went up, did the Rams trade up, or were they?
No,
they have the number one pick?
The Rams traded up. You're talking in 2016. The Rams traded up with the Titans, who held the number one overall pick.
That's right. Yeah, and they had Mariota.
Yeah, they had just drafted Mariota the year before, and so they traded out. And everybody thought at the time before the trade they were going to draft Tunsil. And then the Eagles traded up with the Browns. That was the Hugh Jackson Browns that traded out of the pick.
That's a controversy. That's a similar thing. And I think did the Browns get killed for that? I think they did.
They did, especially because they didn't have anybody and whatnot. And then they would go on to draft Cody Kessler and whatnot. But the Chiefs traded up with the Buffalo Bills in 2017 to draft Pat Mahomes.
Because the Bills would have had, would that have been Tyrod Taylor at that point?
In 2018, yeah.
So, that's kind of similar.
Yeah, and the 2018 Bills were coming off of that playoff year. Remember in 2017 where, you know, they made the playoffs and everything and it was fun? That was the Andy Dalton. Anyway, we're way in the weeds. But the point is, imagine a team passing on like the proverbial Brady Quinn falling to them. And the Cowboys did that. And like, maybe I'm just misremembering, but like nobody batted an eye. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody, but I also think it's because, and this is, again, maybe I'm misremembering here, but I'm pretty sure there was at least the thought that Quinn could very reasonably fall to them. It wasn't necessarily thought like to be a slam dunk, but I think there was a reasonable thought that it could happen. Quinn had his stock had fallen some. Initially, everybody thought he was this super stud, and with Charlie Weiss going there and molding him, the guy who had worked with Tom Brady, that Brady Quinn was going to be a top five pick the following year, and it really didn't work out that way. And his stock had kind of fallen a little bit, similar to the way. Not nearly severely, but similar to the way is Matt Leinart's stock kind of fell a little bit, where he had come out when he won, as an underclassman, he would have been number one pick.
Well,
went back here and ended up going 11.
Now that you say that, Matt Leinart, I think is an interesting comp for that, certainly. But again, the point is that is, again, I think in today's NFL, the team sitting in that boat drafts Brady Quinn. You know what I mean? And just says, whatever, we'll figure it out. Because
if he busts, you'll be bad and you'll get another shot at a top quarterback.
You're like the insane roll of the dice on what was then an undrafted free agent who was needing a contract very soon that had started 10 games for you. That's insane. Like, it actually is insane.
Yeah, it is. I think that, we've heard before, I think it was even before this, Sean Payton took the Saints job in 06, right?
Correct.
That was his first year, was 06.
Right. And that was the Reggie Bush draft.
And then he offered, I think they said he offered a second round pick for Romo. That was before he did anything. So, there was clearly a lot of believers in that building, including Parcells. And even though Parcells had left before the 07 draft, I think they always weighted heavily Bill's opinion on things. And so even though the whole, building seemed to be on board, probably helps that Parcells always held on to him the way that he did. And then that made them think even more highly of him.
Sure. I think it's viewed by myself, obviously, but it's viewed as insane because of the way, not that quarterbacks weren't valuable in 2007, but the way they're sort of hyper value now, because in today's NFL, the Brady Quinn of the draft would not fall to 22. You know what I mean? It just wouldn't, And so it's insane in that regard, because quarterbacks have become this, we've got to try one, you know what I mean? And so I find it was obviously the correct decision, but it is crazy. Looking at it though, so the Cowboys picked up, in their trade back with the Cleveland Browns, they picked up a second round pick in 2007, which we'll get to in a second, and then an extra first round pick in 2008. So the Cowboys in 08 were coming off the number one seed and the Giants lost and everything with two first round picks. And I know you know who the first rounders were. Who was your favorite of Mike Jenkins and Felix Jones?
At the time I was really excited about Mike Jenkins. And yeah. I mean, honestly, think about how insane that would be considered today, though. And at the time, I don't know that it got the same sort of blowback, but especially with how analytically heavy everybody's become and how pass heavy they are, you use a first round pick on a running back, would you already have a Pro Bowl running back on your team?
That's true.
Nuts. And then you used a fourth rounder on a running back. That's today. If somebody does that today, it is Matt Millen level mocking, picking three receivers in a row in the top 10. In fact, I don't think Matt Millen gets mocked nearly as much in today's NFL if he does that as what he had done at the time. But yeah, Marion Barber coming off a Pro Bowl season, Julius Jones, who 2007 was his last year, but they could have re-signed Julius Jones if they wanted to. But then they end up getting Felix Jones in the first and, Tashard Choice in the fourth round or whatever they did. And that was an interesting use of resources.
Well, I also think to that point, because I hadn't even thought about it. So I guess like this is just like draft insanity from the Cowboys in 07 and 08.
Yeah, we're playing by ear here.
Right.
Some podcast jazz.
Sure. Oh, I like that. That's a great name for a podcast, by the way. Anyway, but not only do you have like a Pro Bowl running back on your roster and Marion Barber, but remember there was the much, you know, sort of maligned move entering the playoff game against the Giants we mentioned, where they made Marion Barber the starter. So like, not only is this guy like regarded highly across the NFL, but you've just like as fresh as can be established that he's your starter. And you, so like in terms of like definition, you're saying this first round pick we're spending, this is on a backup, you know, like in a literal sense, you're literally saying that. That's amazing.
Yeah, no. And it's funny though, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, you remember, I mean, obviously we were young kids at the time, but I think we've all heard it told at this point. But you remember one of the things that really killed the Cowboys in the mid-90s was, you know, if they're up there fighting for a title, they started like just drafting depth. Mm-hmm. Like they were drafting, you know, Sherman. Well, they were intentionally drafting like backups because they're like, oh, we're set here. They weren't just drafting best pick available, or they weren't focusing on those things. And, but, you know, you think of like, man, you're right on the cusp, and then you drafted somebody to pair up with Marion Barber, and then the fourth round you do it again. That's bizarre. And then, you know, you're kind of 2016, you're right on the cusp, and then you went and got like Taco. And everybody's like, Taco? Like, why are you doing that? And then last year, you know, after you had kind of rebounded a little bit and you made the playoffs and you don't have that first round pick, and everybody's going, Juan Thornhill, you need a safety. And they go, yeah, let's get Tristan Hill.
Yep.
Like, I mean, I think that honestly, you may be able to trace back a lot of this team's struggles to be able to win a title again over the last 25 years to, if we were to look at it, I bet like when they're on the cusp, we consistently see them flub the draft the next year. And those, coincidentally, are kind of like the only drafts they've really flubbed over time.
Hey, everybody. Going to get back to Bobby in just a second. But before we do, going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's get back to it. Bobby Belt, right here on The Ocho. Right. No, and that lines up with the whole, like, they're never able to put together, you know, back-to-back seasons of success and everything. And it's because they sort of, you know, buy into their own hype and think, like, they almost think, like, we can literally just pick up where we were and we'll just add something to it. You know, like, that doesn't work that way, you know?
In 2016, you know, you had this great draft and everything went great. But during the offseason, you had a bunch of people, you know, complaining that they weren't, involved in getting free agents. They were doing their normal, like, buy low, sell high type of thing. And then last year, some of those same moves were getting criticized. Randall Cobb for $5 million. Robert Quinn, why are you doing that? And those guys ended up being massive contributors. And you trade for Michael Bennett, who turns out to be a great player for you. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, you've kind of struck out on the draft from the year before and in 2017. And so, like, you don't have the same depth. It really is this painful thing for the Cowboys over the last 20 years where, you know, sometimes they'll hit really good on getting a couple veterans that they've signed that come in and are really solid contributors. But, like, that's also around the time they're flubbing the draft. And then when they're hitting the draft really well, they're not hitting on any of their bargain free agents. And so it's kind of this, you know, torturous thing where they can't seem to line it up. Like, if they had made, you know, Randall Cobb, Michael Bennett, and Robert Quinn type of deals in 2016 offseason, and they had paired that with the draft class with Dak and Zeke and everybody, I mean, that'd be insane.
Well, I would even say, like, if they did that in 2017, coming off the Dak Zeke rookie,
sure.
Because that, to your point, that's the time where they say, okay, we don't need to do anything big in free agency. We're set. We'll just add pieces in the draft. And then the following year, it's, okay, we need to do more. You know what I mean? And so they just kind of keep, you know, ping-ponging back and forth.
It's never synced up for them exactly.
Right. Well, so that was kind of depressing. But so I want to, just to sort of fill this whole conversation out, I want to see if you can figure out the entire 2007 draft class. So the Cowboys traded back. With the Browns, and they originally held a 22nd overall pick, and they traded back into the first round. They traded with the Philadelphia Eagles, the very rare in-division trade. So the Cowboys jumped back up to 26 overall, sending the second-round pick that they had gotten from the Browns, from the Brady Quinn trade, a third-rounder, and a fifth round. So altogether, the Cowboys give up, let's see if I can do this on the fly, 22 overall, a second round, or I guess really not a second round, so 22 overall, a third round pick, a fifth round pick, and they net 26 overall and a first rounder in 2008. So, I mean, I guess not that bad of a, you know, net loss.
Not a bad swap.
The picks that the Eagles made with those three players, the second rounder became quarterback Kevin Cobb, the legend. In the third round, that third round pick was Stuart Bradley. And the fifth rounder became CJ Gattis. So nothing special for the Eagles. I know you know who the Cowboys took in 2007 with that that draft pick.
Anthony.
Yeah, that's right. Anthony Spencer. But so the Cowboys, first round pick, 2007, Anthony Spencer. They did not, as mentioned, have a second round pick. I want you to try to figure out the rest. Who was their third round pick in 2007?
Am I going to get any sort of clues? Can I get a position even?
Just an offensive tackle.
2007 offensive tackle.
Only played 1 year.
Only played 1 year in the NFL, period.
Yep.
Hmm.
From Boston College.
Boston College. Okay, so that would be... See, I've got, like, all these other tackle busts in my head, like Solomon Page and, like, Jacob Rogers and
okay,
guys like that.
Okay, it's none of those people. Quit buying time.
I know, because that's before. I know. I'm trying to buy time without having to go, the whole time, because that doesn't sound good on a podcast. I don't have a single clue who it was. I can't recall.
James Martin.
I barely remember he was ever here. I was really big into the draft around that time, and I can vividly recall how the draft played out from 2002 until up through 2009, and yet I don't even remember him.
Okay, I'll say that's honestly the hardest pick to remember of the class. That was their third round pick. They had two fourth round picks, and I'll give you two clues. One of them retired in the last 5 years. I'll give you that little buffer. And the other switched positions upon being drafted.
Switched positions. Isaiah Stanback from Washington.
That's correct. That's one of the two.
What's the position of the other one?
Offensive tackle.
Offensive tackle. Oh, Doug Free, Northern Illinois.
That's right. Okay. So you're 2 for 3 so far. Well done. Okay.
Good deal.
So they did not have a fifth round pick either. They had 2 6th round picks and 2 7th round picks. Now of their 2 6th round picks, one of them, made the Pro Bowl and I believe is still active. I don't know if he's currently on a team, but definitely has been active, was definitely active last season. And so might be kind of looking for a home at the moment, but you know, kind of in Cowboys lore to a small degree. And the other just kind of a memorable, you know, not real memorable, but you know, whatever offensive player. Went to the same school as Byron Jones. That's the other one. I'll give you that clue.
An offensive player that went to UConn.
Yeah.
Hmm. Let me guess the other person first. Is it a corner?
No.
What is it?
I can't tell you that.
You can give me the position. Come on, man.
In a minute, you will understand why I can't tell you that.
Oh my god.
I'll tell you this. He had an incredible moment that season, his rookie season.
In 07?
Yeah, and it was kind of a double moment, which is sort of a huge
moment. Arizona State kicker Nick Folk.
Arizona kicker Nick Folk.
Yeah, Arizona kicker Nick Folk. And so then the other was an offensive player from UConn.
Mm-hmm.
What position?
I can't tell you that either.
Man, you suck.
I'll tell you this. He caught a touchdown, not his rookie season, but his second season, in a game that was on Sunday Night Football to keep the Cowboys playoff hopes alive.
Oh, shoot. I don't recall.
He went by the Cricket.
Oh, Darian Barnes. See, I thought about Darian Barnes. Deion Anderson. See, I mix up all the fullbacks. No, I thought about Deion Anderson, but I really thought that Deion Anderson was I thought his first year was Parcells last year.
You were wrong. It's fine.
All right. I know. I thought.
All right. Now, the last two were both taken in the seventh round. I really, really, truly don't know how to, give you any clues here, except I'll offer that they're both corners, and one of them was on a recent season of Survivor.
That doesn't help me at all. And you know that? Both of them corners. Like, did they play for the Cowboys ever, or are these guys that, like, never actually even played for them?
They both played.
07 corner. And both of them were corners?
Correct. One of them, a really small school. The other went to a school in the same state as an answer you've already given.
Can you give me the states that they're both from? Not the school, just the states.
I'll give you one of the states because the other one I think would give it away.
Okay. Fine.
I'll even tell you Cal Poly. I'll tell you straight out.
I don't know who that is, so you might as well just give me that answer.
Courtney Brown.
Yeah, I still do. When I think Courtney Brown, I think the pass rush.
Okay. Well, sorry. And the other. Again, these are the answers you've given.
This is the one you're not going to give me a clue on?
I will not, but I will tell you the same state as one of these schools that you've – these are the schools of the players we've talked about. Purdue, Boston College, Washington, Northern Illinois, Arizona, Connecticut. So it's in the same state as one of those.
Boston College, Illinois, Connecticut, and what?
Purdue, Boston College, Washington, Northern Illinois, Arizona, Connecticut. Those are the schools.
I don't have it.
All right.
I suck.
It's Alan Ball from Illinois.
See, the two names that were popping in my head, and I know one of them was way too early, it was Jock Reeves, because I remember Jock Reeves left.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of Alan Ball. I didn't have his name in my head, but I was thinking of that guy.
Do you know which of the two was on a recent season of Survivor, at least?
Alan Ball?
I think I had told you that when that happened.
I think you did, and that's the only reason. No, I mean, I was just guessing. Yeah. I have no clue.
Pretty crazy how much things have changed. We were going to do this a few weeks ago, but you were busy and suck.
I don't think I was busy. You scheduled it for Sunday. I won't say what happened in between, but go ahead.
On the subject of the draft, well, we were going to do this sort of rewind and look at the 2015 draft, 8 years after the one we're discussing. And wow, isn't it kind of crazy that we're more than halfway to that same gap? Like there were 8 years between 07 and 15. And there have been 5 years from 2015 to now. Isn't that kind of crazy that we're 3 years away from that same distance? That's nuts.
I have internal crises over how bad time is.
We were going to talk about the 2015 Cowboys draft when Byron Jones signed with the Dolphins. But we've talked about this kind of before, I think even on Cowboys Cast, but that third round pick in 2015, like that's a butterfly effect moment for the Cowboys. Like so much changes. So obviously they take Byron Jones and Randy Gregory in rounds one and two, right? And then the third round, everyone's thinking this is where they replaced DeMarco Murray, right? This is it. They've been waiting. This is it. Tevin Coleman, Duke Johnson, David Johnson wasn't really on people's radars right at that particular moment. Obviously was a draft.
Yeah, I think people thought he was more of a fourth rounder. Right. And David Johnson actually did go ahead of their pick in the third.
Right. But so Jay Ajayi, another option, you know, there were all these guys that people thought were going to be the guy. They end up taking your favorite player of all time, Chaz Green. And
Mr. Glass.
And that kind of changes their emotion. But let's just say, for conversation's sake, they draft a runner. Whoever you want. Pick whoever you want. And that runner, I mean, Darren McFadden had 1,000 yards that season. So that rookie runner.
If you want to go with the runner that I believe – like, you can't just pick any runner and go necessarily. Let's say they take Jay Ajayi, because, I mean, Ajayi went in the fifth round. I mean, everybody thought he was strong, but clearly the rest of the league had medical concerns with him. So
okay, whatever.
I think the next running back taken, I believe it was Buck Allen, and Buck Allen was a visitor.
Whoever they take, I think it's fair to assume they have a moderately successful season because Darren McFadden had 1,000 yards, right? And in a season that he didn't even start every game. So the rookie running back probably has a successful season. So they head into 2016 then with a second-year running back coming off a 1,000-yard season, holding the fourth overall pick. There is no way on earth that they draft Zeke if that's the case. I think you agree.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
And I just that ripple effect is gigantic because they take Jalen Ramsey, and then I think a logical question is, does Dak have the same success, you know, in 2016, you know, starting if there's no Zeke in the backfield, if it's Buck Allen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that the other thing about them taking Jalen Ramsey is it's often been discussed and talked. A lot of people don't remember this now, I don't think. There was a lot of chatter at the time among people who analyzed the draft as to like whether Jalen Ramsey is a corner or safety.
Yeah.
And like the dude was always a corner. Like, I don't care what anybody says. And it's clear to see now that he's a corner. But at the time, the Cowboys apparently did think he was a safety.
Sure.
So if they do take somebody there, though, remember that they're not taking Jalen Ramsey the corner, they're taking Jalen Ramsey the safety.
Right.
And so you've got Rand, which makes sense because they played Byron at safety. You know, they moved him over there after picking him. So they clearly thought there was a need there. So Jalen Ramsey in 16 would play safety. So who would sit? Wilcox or Barry Church? It'd be JJ.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're saying Byron is the other safety at this point, because they would have still taken Byron. So then your secondary is, you know, Mo Claiborne, Brandon Carr, Byron, and Jalen Ramsey. That's your secondary.
Yeah.
And
I guess that would be what it'd be. But.
And your offense is Dak and Buck Allen. And so, I mean, and who knows, you know, the way everything else unfolds. I mean, like that is a fascinating switch that if they replace the runner, whoever it is, in the third round in 2015, and then like I think you could even forecast and you can say, you know, if Dak ultimately does have success, whatever, you know, obviously the Romo part of that is Romo, and then the burning of Atlanta game never happens the following season. Like that is a massive moment.
Right. The Atlanta game never happens. I wonder if they use some sort of resource in 16 or 17 to get another swing tackle. So somebody else is tapped out too. Maybe in 16, that's what it is. I mean, I don't know this. I don't remember who else on the board, but like, let's say like maybe pick 135 or whatever, where they took Dak. Maybe that's where they decide to address their swing tackle issue. Like, you never know. Like there's
that's a
bunch of different things that could be different.
Hey guys, RJ here. One last chance to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Hey, everybody, let's finish strong. Let's get to it. Bobby Belt right here on The Ocho. Yeah, that's a really good point. I also think it's fair to even wonder, like, past the Cowboys, do the 2017 Jaguars, without cornerback Jalen Ramsey, beat the Steelers? right? And then, you know, do the Steelers meet the Patriots in the AFC title game? I don't remember the playoffs.
I don't know that the Jaguars make the playoffs. I mean, right. Jalen Ramsey was so key to how like dominant that defense was.
So yeah, I mean,
and do the Jaguars take, or are they taking Zeke at five, or are they taking somebody else?
That's an interesting question.
At five, then there's no Leonard Fournette.
Right. And I think, I wonder if the Cowboys take Jalen Ramsey at four, if they still take Jalen Smith later. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that shifts their philosophy dramatically, but it's interesting.
Jalen Smith was their top guy left on the board when they picked him, and Derrick Henry was on the board.
Maybe they take Derrick Henry instead of Jalen Ramsey. That's an interesting way to look at it. And then No.
They don't take Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry instead of Jalen Smith. So you end up with Ramsey.
They could have taken Ramsey and Henry because they did like Henry, but Jalen was their highest ranked player. But then you got to remember, they also took, like, in the third round, they took Malik Collins.
I wonder.
I don't think the Cowboys, if they take somebody defensive in the first round, because remember, it was all, what was the point of Zeke as a pick initially?
To sort of capitalize on the final moments of the Romo window.
Yeah, it was to protect him.
Right.
And to, like, give him some sort of thing like that. So if they decide, all right, getting so-and-so is more important than taking, you know, if we get Ramsey and that's more important to us than getting insurance for Romo, I would still guess they'd, with that second pick, then look at, okay, now we're going to address getting something for Romo.
I think the fascinating thing to me is the most fascinating thing, and without altering too much of time, but if we're to say that the first and second round picks are Ramsey and Henry, right? Again, this is all hypothetical, but I think you can kind of surmise that maybe the 2016 Cowboys are relatively the same, right? Like maybe Derrick Henry has an equally great or similarly great rookie season that that Zeke ultimately had. And so maybe the Cowboys still
Derrick Henry's been
I think you do wonder what is the Cowboys secondary with Jalen Ramsey look like on 3rd and 20 against Aaron Rodgers and Jared Cook. You know what I mean? Like, that's an interesting question. But I think also, like, if you're to play that team out and go all the way to Atlanta in 2017, you're not playing Chaz Green and you do have your starting running back because Zeke was suspended for that game. And so how different does the 2017 season look? Are you more competitive with the Eagles? Do maybe you win the division and then the Eagles don't, you know, go on and do what they did? I mean, that's what I'm saying. That third round 2015 pick is one of the more hidden what if switches in Cowboys history.
I mean, they were 5-3 when Zeke got suspended, and they weren't just 5-3. They were 5-3 and on the way up.
They had just beaten the Chiefs team. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had just beat them and they had won three in a row. And Atlanta was not a great team. I mean, they were okay in 17. And I think that you can't just as easily say, okay, let's put Byron Bell in there instead of Chaz Green. Like, it could be anybody else.
Good times.
But you'd also have, you know, a different running back in there. And I think that, you know, you've got your running back there, not just for that game, but for all the other games. And you don't have just the entire Zeke drama carrying over into the season. And also, you should say you don't necessarily have the entire, you know, for whatever effect it had, who knows what it, you don't have the Zeke drama this year. Like the fact that he wasn't around at camp.
Oh, you're saying in 2019, what you mean?
Yeah, like this past year.
Right.
You don't have the holdout drama. Now, if you're taking Jalen Ramsey, you might. But I don't think they'd be as hesitant to pay Jalen Ramsey.
Well, and then I think
his deal would have gotten done, and he would have had to have held out.
This is way too what if. But if you've got Jalen Ramsey, and maybe they realize he's a corner. I mean, who knows? But your 2017 draft does not feature two corners in, you know, your first three picks. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of, you know, what if.
And the one that it's probably not is Jordan Lewis.
Right.
It's been better than the corner you took first.
That's a great point.
But also, I mean, you look at, like, if Chris Richard comes in here and takes over the defense, yeah, he's probably shifting Ramsey at that point, regardless of where he's been. And he's playing corner for you at that point. And if that's the case, and you've got Chris Richard here lobbying for him, and you've got Jalen Ramsey, who you're trying to get a contract extension with done here, who is represented by David Mulugeta, maybe as a offering and to, you know, smooth relations, maybe you do go a little bit above what you were planning to go get Earl Thomas. Because Earl Thomas is rep by David Mulugeta.
Well, this was fun. I think I confused myself. I think you confused me. I hope I confused you, and I hope you confused yourself. But the what if is a lot of fun when it comes to the draft. So very last question, because the draft is, it's still technically March, but inside of a month from now, if you had to bet every jelly bean in the world, what do the Cowboys do at 17?
If you asked me right now, I would say, do I have to pick a player? Because yeah. I would tell you right now, like my, because it could be any number of things right now. My likeliest guess is trade back.
Okay.
But like, if I have to say a player, and that's just because, you know, the trade back is such a, just like from now to draft day, it's going to make some sense. Like that sense is never going to change. We're always going to have that as a potential option. And no matter what goes on in front of you, that could always be a potential option. Whereas like players, we may find out more about interest as the thing goes on. So like, I feel like the steadiest option is to
give us a name.
As a player, I'm explaining my thought process, but as a player right now, it just feels like there's too much buzz from people to know, not like certain the way Tristan Hill was come draft day, but it feels like there's too much buzz about Kalavon Chaisson from LSU, the edge rusher.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I would probably say Chaisson right now, but I mean, I think people need to be prepared for a lot of odd things. I was talking to somebody this week, as a matter of fact, that there's kind of this growing sense in the NFL, and that if OTAs don't start on time, and if you don't get mini camps and things like that, you're losing all that time that you need to get rookies ready.
Right.
And so the thought process is that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be more willing to give up draft capital that weekend in exchange for low cost veterans than they normally would. And so that you may see more pick for player trades and, you know, something like the Earl Thomas deal, more likely to get done now than it would have then on draft weekend, or there's going to be more of those type of deals. And so what tactic is Dallas going to take? Does Dallas think we're closer, and so we need veterans? We don't need to waste our time with rookies because we're close to really contending. This is our window. We need to go do this. And they are the ones who are the types giving up draft capital for veterans? Or are they more likely the team that goes, you know what, let's have a longer view of this. Let's, you know, trade Tyron Smith, let's trade Tyrone Crawford, let's trade like these guys, and like let's get second round picks, and like let's start like stockpiling, you know, arrows here to throw.
Interesting. Wow. Well, that's an interesting way to look at it, and we'll see what happens. Again, less than a month from now. Bobby, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Who do you pick? I'm gonna turn it around on you. Who do you think they take? 17.
I mean, I think that trading back is obviously, you know, the more likely thing to happen than anything. But I mean, so I agree with you in that sense. But I think the way we've seen them, they are very like, this side of the boat is leaking, let's go tend to it. And then a hole develops on the other side. And so, I mean, to me, it the dots are easy to connect that they would say, well, we lost Byron Jones, we need T.J. Goodwin. You know what I mean? Like that, not T.J. Goodwin, goodness gracious.
T.J. Henderson, yeah.
They already got T.J. Goodwin.
Well, but if you want to talk about filling a hole, my one prediction that I've had here that I've been pretty consistent with, at least in conversations with people, I don't know that I've tweeted it. I may have tweeted it like once or something. But I think my consistent prediction has been like they are going to take a linebacker in the top 100. And I think that's reflective of at least like we need some insurance policy. Like we feel okay about it, but like let's have some insurance here. So like that would probably be my one, you know, ironclad like pick for you know, Mike used to do their stone cold lead pipe locks. That's mine. Like I'm gonna say they take a linebacker in the top 100.
I think that I don't think that's, you know, wrong or incorrect or, you know, impossible or anything. And I think that will start a legitimate panic on Leighton Van Der Esch. You know what I mean? Like that will be like, you can imagine, like, you know how, like, when there's like a big moment or whatever, like you pull up your Twitter timeline and it's like just a streamline of like OMG or wow or whatever. Like there will be like a streamline of like, oh no. Oh, and you know what I mean? Like it will be the same tweet. Like
I would say for those of you who are always, because everybody's always wanting to know, like, well, where's Leighton at with this, or what's happening here, or like just in general stuff that the Cowboys are more secretive about. Like, most times, not every time, but most times, like, you can read a lot about how they feel or like how their position is evolving based on other things that they do. And watch how the conversation on Leighton Van, yeah, he's just down for a game, to like, oh, we're just going to rest him for a little bit, and then right. We want it to calm down. And then all of a sudden, it's okay, he's not playing the rest of the year, but he's going to be full participant. And then it's Stephen Jones saying, well, he's not going to be fully ready for training camp. I don't know about the minicamp. Mm. Okay, what? Like,
It sounds like Bobby needs to go tweet out like a timeline of verbiage that the Cowboys have used with Leighton Van.
I'm just saying, you look at like how things progressed with Amari. Where Leighton most, and again, this is not nearly the same name, but you know how they're, it reminds me of the way they're handling Leighton is the way they talked about James Hanna before James Hanna's knee like killed him.
Mm. Well, again, work on the timeline project. I would like to see that tweet. That's where you specialize in finding information on anybody on earth. Really, that's how Bobby rolls. On Twitter,
Can I give a quick plug? Not a plug. Can I give a preview? Because I know you're about to do the plug. Okay. I will say preview that sometime this week, it's a little fluid on like times that it's all going to get scheduled, but we do have verbal commitments for interviews this week with Justin Matabike, the Texas A&M defensive tackle. Tristan Wirfs, the offensive tackle from Iowa that everybody was surprised to find the Cowboys had a formal with, because he is considered a top 10 offensive lineman. And then a name we just discussed, Kalavon Chaisson.
Oh, look at you bringing it full circle. And Bobby is, of course, talking about the Boys and a Girl podcast with Jane Slater, available wherever you can get podcasts, part of the Herd Podcast Network. He is the co-host there with Jane, friend of the show, friend of ours. And you can find him on Twitter at BobbyBeltTX, kind of serves as a hub for all the sleuthing that he does. You can go add him on Facebook, too. Just search Bobby Belt. Just run him over with Facebook.
I wouldn't add him on Facebook, but I'll add him on Instagram.
Yeah, that's true. Bobby, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. Looking forward to the interviews this week, and we'll talk to you soon enough.
I love you.
Massive, massive, massive thanks to Bobby for taking the time to join us. A fun conversation, the 2007 draft and Brady Quinn, the 2015 draft. That third round pick, I'm telling you, if the Cowboys take any one of those running backs instead of Chaz Green, who knows what the rest of the last 5 years end up looking like. It really is crazy to think about. So much has happened with the Cowboys since then. And I think it's interesting to look back at that, because you can see how much a draft can really, really shape and alter an organization. And that makes the whole process really intimidating and scary and fun and frightening and exhilarating. And obviously the draft is a couple of weeks from now, and you know, we'll see what direction the Cowboys ultimately go. It's going to be fun, going to be good times. And I tell you what, good times are coming your way the rest of this week on the podcast. Look, you know, it's getting to be that small little period between free agency and the draft, and we want to make sure that you have all sorts of, you know, different opinions and different thoughts. And so we're trying to bring in as many guests as we can with different connections to football and even different connections to sports. I mentioned that Chris Solomon from No Laying Up will be joining us tomorrow. If you're unaware or unfamiliar with Solly and the No Laying Up crew, they do a fantastic job covering golf, really the PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, every sort of aspect of golf. Have a fantastic YouTube show, Tour of Sauce, and really, really fascinated to hear Solly's thoughts on kind of the way the current climate of the world is affecting sports and talking about sports, and really, really anxious and interested to see what Solly thinks about Tony Romo's golf coverage and golf game. So that'll be fun. And we'll have some good times. So again, working on getting you some fun guests. If you want, you can go back into the podcast feed. Last week, we had some great guests. I had two Cowboys on, Luke Gifford and brand new Cowboy Blake Bell were on. So search back in your podcast feed. If you get a chance, if you're playing around the podcast feed, give us a rating, write a review. Those things help the show, help the podcast, help Blogging the Boys. And, you know, because we know that you want, and more importantly, you deserve the best Dallas Cowboys coverage in all the land. And we're committed to bringing that to you. Hey, do me a favor, all right? Have the absolute best Monday of all time. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.